got your exercise in. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. The truth is, most of you wouldn't have to because you know this verse. You were given this verse as a child. If you grew up in the church, you could quote it. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Say it with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, now say it like you mean it. Ready? Seek. That verse is really important. The context is even more important. Let the verse be simply a starting block for us. You will know when the airplane is landing when we talk about the context. Today we're starting a new series. We will continue in this series every Sunday for the rest of the summer. It is obvious that when we study the savings, spendings, and debt habits of Americans, many people have no clue how to handle their money. And I'm afraid the church has not done a very good job in helping out. Illustration. A couple in this church moved quite a few years ago now. They retired from Dow Chemical. They moved to their home area about 2.5 hours from here. Built a retirement home, and there they live in a small community. And they attend a church of about 75 people. An Assemblies of God church. And in the course of time, if I told you who this was, every person in this room that has been here for any period of time would know these people. And this person, this man, came on the church board of this church. They asked him to be the church treasurer. So he kind of knows the church from the inside out. And they have come visited us several times since they have retired and moved away. They said, "Oh, Pastor, it's just so horrible because our church struggles so desperately with finances." And then we look, he's the treasurer of the church. He said, "We look at the people of the church, and everybody in the church struggles so much financially." So the board got together, a small board. I think it's a 3-person board, something like that, 3 or 5. And they have pled with their pastor, "Would you teach this congregation about finances? Would you teach us about giving? Would you teach us about finances? Would you teach the congregation about tithing?" And the pastor refuses to do that. Refuses to do that. Because he's afraid. You start talking about money, people are going to go out the door. The 75 will dwindle to 35 if you start talking about money. This man has repeatedly told me we cannot get our pastor to mention the word tithe. We can't get our pastor to talk about finances. Now, it's my guess, over lunch today, there will be some statements made like, "All Pastor Joel ever talks about is money." Well, let's let the record speak for itself. I've pastored this church. I filled this pulpit as pastor for 30 years today. At 40 messages a year, that translates to 1,200 messages, most of which have been brand new, not repeated messages. You all know, if you're going to stay in a pastorate that long, you have to keep meticulous records of what you have taught. In the past 30 years, I have brought to you 27 messages about tithing, giving, stewardship, or finances. 27 over 30 years. That's less than 1 year or 2%. Now let's compare my percentages with our Lord's. Why are you laughing? You know the Bible, don't you? Did you know that Jesus taught 38 parables, 16 of which were directly related to money? His percentage? 42%. Now, if I were to line up with Jesus, I'd have to up my game about 40%. We should be getting about 22 messages a year on money. And yet, I haven't taught you on the subject of money for 8 years. So anybody who says in the next month and a half, "Oh, Pastor Joel talks about his money," it's just not true. If anything, I'm sitting before you. I should be standing before you today with an apology that says I haven't taught enough on this subject matter. Clearly, we're due for some teaching on scriptural principles. Why? Here's why. Money is a test from God. And I will prove that specifically next Sunday morning. I remember back in the early 2000s, say about 15 years ago, I was preaching a series titled Grace Giving. And one of the texts was Acts 20:35, which says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And oh, how I remember on that Sunday when I used that text, I talked about this verse saying, there's two ways we can live. We can either live, look, you have to look up here to see this. We can either live this way, or we can live this way. And that day, this congregation made a commitment that we would not live like this, we would live like this. I find myself amazed at ministries that make their major focus how we get. This kind of teaching leads people to believe that by giving, we're going to wake up one morning with a money tree in our backyard. Mom and Dad taught me to tithe at age 12. They had a family business. I began to work in their family business at age 12. They broke the child labor laws all the way around, let me tell you. So I'm working for Dad and Mom. And when I got my first paycheck, which really wasn't a paycheck, it was cash. Good, hard, cold cash. They sat me down and they said, "Now this is how you live your life, Joel, at age 12. You take 10% of what you made this week and you give it Sunday morning in the church offering. You take another 10% and you go to Rochester Savings and Loan and you put it in a savings account. You take another 10% and you just hold it in your pocket to give it whenever you want at church. Not tithe, but just to give it whenever you want. Whenever the Lord asks you or kind of lays on your heart, you just drop a dollar or two in. And the other 70%, Joel, you can live however you want to live." That's 53 years ago. My parents ingrained that in me, and we live with that equation to this very day. 10% goes in the offering, 10% is given where God would impress me to give it, and 10% is saved, and we live on the 70%. Now, I have no idea what that means in our lives, and I don't want you to start to do a whole bunch of math, but I will tell you this. I've been doing this for 53 years. The tithe portion of that has to be north of $250,000. So, I got up at 5:30 this morning and I looked out in my backyard and there was no money tree there. it wasn't there. You saw the money tree in the backyard? Oh, Lord, we're in big trouble now. She just saw a giant credit card. That's what she saw in the backyard. Why do I give at that kind of level for 53 years? It's the only way I can convince myself of this truth, that everything that I have comes from and belongs to God. Ask you a question. How many of you believe everything that you have and everything that comes your direction comes from the hand of God? Raise your right hand up real high right now. Wow. Put that down. That begs a second question. Prove it.
Everything I have comes from God, belongs to God.
Prove it. Seriously, prove it. How are you going to prove that?
Well, I tell him that.
We all know we say a lot of things that ain't so. But we say it, and we say it, and we say it. I'm asking this for this reason. We all have entered this world with a fallen sin nature, and at the heart of that nature is a tendency toward taking, not giving. Let me prove it to you. I've had a secret little passion in my life. Donna, can I have that microphone, please? And that is simply, if I had a second thing I'd like to do with my life than being a pastor, I'd like to be a game show host. You know, one of these guys that stands with a microphone that's 3 feet long, you know, stands like this. And you know, he says to people, come on down. Boy, that would be fun. And give stuff away. That would be a blast. So we're going to have a game show right now. It's not The Price is Right. I'm going to call it Grab the Money Game. Doesn't that sound like a good show? Grab the Money Game. Oh, don't sit there and look at me like, no, I don't know about this. You'd love it. So I'm going to give four names out, and I want these people to come right up and stand on the platform real quick. The first one is Nick Pellegrino. The second one is Madeline Grew. Come as I read your names. The third is Debbie Rodriguez. And the first is Eric Grable. Come on down. Come on over here. Come on over here. You must be Nick. Oh, no, you guys come up here. Don't get too fancy over there. You're getting way too close to the game show over there. This is Nick.
I'm Nick.
Where do you go to school?
Midland High.
Midland High. What grade?
Junior.
Oh, Lord. I know education was bad in America, but I figured they'd at least know what grade they're in, you know? Junior coming up.
Yeah,
that was the problem. You're in the summertime. Yeah, I get you. Debbie,
yeah.
Where do you go to school?
Midland High.
You better answer this question better than him. What grade?
10th.
10th. 1 year younger than him. Madeline.
Hello.
Where do you go to school?
I'm going to Ferris in the fall.
Ooh, yes. Ferris in the fall. You need some money for college, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Where did you go to school?
Midland High.
What's the deal here? Your name?
Eric.
I knew that. Eric Grable. What grade?
7th.
What school?
Northeast.
Northeast. Okay. I your names. Pellegrino. What nationality?
Italian.
I guess I should have known that, huh? And we're coming to your house for pizza tonight, okay? And Grew. What nationality?
French. Canadian.
French-Canadian. Rodriguez.
Mexican.
Mexican. Grable?
What nationality?
I don't know what that means.
Are your dad and mom Germans or Irishmen, or do you know?
French.
Your mother is just saying, whatever he wants it to be is fine with us.
Okay, here we go. Now, have I talked with any of you about this game? Have we had a meeting and talked about this?
No.
Okay. I haven't set you up to do this a certain way. I haven't talked to you about this. All I'm going to ask is that you be honest with your gut. I do not want you to do whatever you're going to do because you think that's what Pastor Joel would like you to do. Eric, I do not want you to do whatever you're going to do because you want your mom and dad to be happy with what you did. It doesn't make you... Could you just kind of pretend they're not here? And I'm not here. And you have an opportunity and do what your gut... The first thing your gut would want to do. You will get no shame. You will get no condemnation. I'm not going to lecture on what you did or didn't do. I just want you to do it naturally. So here's the deal. I have an offering bag. Have you ever thought when the offering went around that you'd... Come on. Have you ever thought, what would it be like to take something out instead of put something in? Huh? No? 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 Eric is hesitant on that. Okay. There are four pieces of paper in here. I want you to reach in and take one. I don't want you to show it to each other. I don't want you to show it to them. I don't want you to show it to me. This is not staged. Ladies go first, gentlemen. Just reach in there and take one. Don't show it to anybody. Keep it. There's only one left. Nick. Okay. Now, I want you to... I don't want you to influence each other. So I want you to just kind of peek at it so you know what your number is. But don't show the congregation. There's a 1, 2, a 3... And a 4. Okay, there's a 1, 2, 3, and 4. It hasn't been rigged. I have over here 4 bills. Madeline, do you see what this one is? Oh, look at her. She is drooling, okay? Madeline, shout good and loud. What's that bill?
$100.
It's a $100 bill. What's that one?
50.
What's that one? What's that one?
10.
Okay. Remember, nobody's here. There's a sign that says, feel free to take whichever one you want to take. Dude, why didn't I get in this game, huh? Who has... Number one. Debbie has number one. Okay. Debbie, follow your gut. Do what you want to do, honey. Go ahead. Take which one you want to take. Just take the bill. Leave the rest. Thank you. There you go. Debbie, are you glad you came to church today? Huh? Huh? Boy, it's a good day to come to church. Who is number two? The girls, come on! Madeline, follow your gut. Is this predictable or what? Who's got number three? I know you think this is rigged. It's not. Eric, follow your gut. That's a good boy. That's a good boy. You got number four. Ah. I believe you. I believe you. Yeah, yeah, that's what you get is $10. Well, it's better than nothing. And I wanted to prove a point. Point is this. If we were all in Debbie's shoes, we would have all taken the $100 bill. Because we are born with a nature that does that. You don't have to talk yourself into it. You don't even have to think about it. It comes naturally. I feel sorry for my buddy Nick. So here's another 10. Now you got 20, okay? Give him a hand. You can go down. That was $190. And I expect at the close of the service, $19 in tithe to come in, okay? Expect that. The first principle we must grasp, if we ever want to handle money right, is this. The principle of first. It's referenced in Scripture three different ways. Firstborn, first fruits, and tithe. They all say the same. We find the firstborn in regards to giving, the firstborn, mentioned 16 times in the Old Testament. Not once or twice, but 16 times. Let me take you to the first. The first is, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, it is mine. The word consecrate means it's set apart. The first is set apart. And then look how God says it. God says, it is mine. The New Living Translation says, it belongs to me. God was saying, I have a legal right to take every firstborn simply because they came from me in the first place. And they belong to me. Now think about that for a moment. When a firstborn lamb is born to a flock, it isn't possible to know how many more lambs the ewe might produce. Nevertheless, God says, let your ewe produce, God doesn't say, let your ewe produce 9 lambs and then give me the 10th. God says, give me the first one. The principle of first. Very important truth. The first belongs to God. And look at this. It always requires faith to give. That's all tithing really is. It is our giving first to God in faith. It is saying, God, I'm going to give you whatever belongs to you, and I'm going to trust you to redeem the rest. Tithing means giving to God before you see if you're going to have enough. It is the only, very important statement in today's message, it is the only tangible way I know that we can say to God, I recognize you are first, I will put you first in my life, and I will trust you to take care of the rest of the things in my life. And that is precisely why tithing is so important to all of us. Another truth, tithing is the primary way we acknowledge God is first in our lives. In fact, I'll go farther than that. Biblically speaking, it's the only way. Because I know we can say it. We can say it a million times. You know the old saying, put your money where your mouth is. This entire first concept didn't stop with the firstborns. We have another term called first fruits. In regards to giving the first fruits, it's mentioned 15 times. Not once or twice, but 15 times. Look at the first reference of the first fruits. It's Exodus 23:19. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. As you harvest your crops, the New Living Translation, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. The Amplified, the first of the first fruits you shall bring into the house of the Lord. I want you to notice two things about that. Number one, God wants the first of the first. God doesn't say, bring me the second, the third, or the fourth of the first. God says, I want the top. I want the first of the first. And the second thing I'd like you to see is God designates a specific place for the first to be brought. It's not wherever you want. Now, I recognize. I've pastored for 30 years in one situation, and I've talked to a lot of people about a lot of things, and I've talked to a lot of people about this. I know there are people who will not attend CCC today because they have a point of contention with this, because they think they should just be able to put their tithe wherever they want to put it because it's their money. I've had interactions with a lot of people about that. It is mine, Pastor, and I can give it where I want. I just want to ask you, how does that line up with Scripture? It doesn't. It doesn't. First of all, it's not yours in the first place. You get that? It's not yours in the first place. Oh, you all raised your hand a little while ago that said, everything I have comes from God and belongs to God. If that's the case, it's not yours in the first place. And secondly, God says, I have a place I want it to go. God doesn't say, wherever you want to send it or give it, it's okay. God doesn't say that. Truth. Tithe belongs to the center of our spiritual activity. Hear, Pastor, closely. Tithe, your tithe does not belong to the support of missions. Your tithe does not belong to the Samaritan Fund. Your tithe shouldn't be used to pay off the education of a child. Your tithe should not be given to someone else. I had a very exasperating conversation with a person in this congregation several years ago. They came to me and wanted counsel about tithing, and they basically told me that God told them that they were supposed to give their tithe to a very poor family in another part of the United States that they had come in contact with. These people lived in deplorable conditions, and they were to give all their tithe to them because they were going to start a new business, and they needed money to start this new business, and this new business, of course, would bring them out of their poverty state. And I looked at him and said, that's a wonderful thing to do, but it's just not where the tithe is supposed to go. And they got so upset with me. So angry with me. Now, they're still in the church today. I don't look at the giving records. That's one of the reasons I can preach about tithing like this, because I don't have any idea who gives what. I only know what Joel and Donna give. Stay totally away from it. Our bookkeeper knows. Never come to me and tell me who gave a dime. I don't want to know. Now, you said to him, you know, if you want to do that, you can do that. And if you say God told you to do that, we're talking the tithe. We're not talking blessing with giving. We're talking the tithe. If you're saying God told you to do that, all I know is the Bible doesn't support that. It just doesn't. Let me tell you how it worked in the Bible times. It was an agricultural society. If they had a 10-acre farm, and they didn't. Back then, they had one-acre farms. But let's use 10 for sake of illustration. They would harvest the first acre and they would stop their operations. They wouldn't say, well, it's going to rain tonight, so we got to hurry up and get it all in. This was all done by hand, you understand. But they would do 1 acre and they'd shut things down. And they'd take everything that came from that 1 acre and they would go to their synagogue. And they would worship. And they would say, God has been so good to us. This belongs to you. This belongs to our house of worship. It belongs to the center of our spiritual activity. And they would worship and worship and worship. They wouldn't go to another synagogue. They wouldn't send it someplace else. And they would take it. You see, if they had 10 acres and they took the first, they were doing what? They were taking it off the top. Answers the question, do I tithe on the gross or on the net? Do you want God to bless your gross or your net? It's quite simple. Come up with all these questions to somehow whittle it down. Donna and I have always taken the position, whatever we think our tithe is, give more. Just give more. Because maybe I'm not seeing it totally right. I just want to be the way God's been with me. Generous. Over and above. And they would always bring it to their synagogue, the center of their spiritual activity. We find a vivid illustration of this in the fall of Jericho in the Old Testament. You'll recall, the Lord gave some real strict instructions when the Israelites took Jericho. They were not to keep any of the spoils from Jericho. All the spoils belonged to him, and he declared it to be so. Look at this. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and you will bring much trouble on it. All the silver, the gold, and the articles of bronze and the iron are sacred to the Lord, and they must go into his treasury. Verse 24. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. A careful study of the rest of the book of Joshua will reveal something. When they went into Canaan, you know how many major cities they had to take down? 10. 10. The first one? God says, don't touch it. It belongs to me. And after Jericho, you can keep it all. You can do what you want to do with it. It was their first fruits of Canaan. So God was saying, bring all the silver and the gold from Jericho into my house, and then you can have all the rest. He didn't say, conquer 10 cities and give me all the spoils from the 10th. And I'm sure you remember that one man by the name of Achan decided this order of God didn't apply to his. Keith, I will never forget your message. What was the title of it? The Achan one. The tent that was up here. Keith, you don't remember what you preached? You don't remember the title? Well, I remember that you had a tent up here. And he graphically described to us God's interaction with Achan, the guy who said, but that doesn't affect me. I am the exception. It was a powerful message, Keith. Absolutely powerful message. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Oh, not all of the Israelites. One, Achan. What did he do? He took some of the devoted things, hid them under his tent. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. You see, my friends, when the spoils were given to God, they were consecrated or set apart. But when they were kept from him, they became cursed. The top 10% in your life and my life either is consecrated or cursed. There is no other option. One might ask, why is that so? It's really quite simple. When we keep the tithe, God considers that a stolen commodity. And I can prove that from Scripture. In Malachi 3, God makes it crystal clear. If we keep the tithe, we are robbing God. And I'm going to tell you, I find that most sobering. That Joel and Donna Stalker have the potentiality of robbing God. Look at it. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do you rob me? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. We have grandkids that live in St. Paul. Well, they've actually just moved to Waukegan, Waukesha, Wisconsin. I have told my son, if he lets my two grandsons and my daughter and my granddaughter turn into Packers fans, I will disinherit him. That cannot happen in the Stalker household. They live about an hour and a half from Mecca. It's too close for me as far as I'm concerned. Because they've lived distance from us, Donna always sends birthday money. Because to get a $50 gift and then send it, it's going to cost another $50. So we just send the check. Rochelle, you go out and buy him something. What if Rochelle bought him something for $15-$20 and pocketed $30? I would feel that she stole our gift. And I'd be very upset. It's the same thing with the tithe. And the story of Jericho and Achan tells us that the whole community suffered because of the disobedience of one. And I'm going to tell you, it's one of the reasons CCC is so blessed. And I'm not naive. I know that not 100% of the people that walk through these doors on Sunday morning tithe, but I will tell you this, a very high percentage do. And that's why we are blessed, 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 blessed. Blessed going out, blessed coming in, blessed lying down, blessed rising up. We're blessed, 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 blessed. That's why. Some will say, well, Pastor, that was Old Testament, and it doesn't apply to us today. If that's the truth, then let me ask you a question. Seriously. If you think that's Old Testament and not for today, then after God talks about bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse and not robbing him, two verses later, this is a revelation God just gave to me in 2 weeks ago. It's a revelation. I've never seen it before. Then why does two verses later God say, I, the Lord, do not change? I'm like, if it is true, then when did God change his mind on the subject of tithe? He didn't. It could be called firstborn, it could be called first fruits, it could be called tithe. It isn't a law for us. Final truth for today. Tithing is an unchangeable principle established by an unchanging God. Boy, is that good. That is good preaching. I'll pat myself on the back for that one. God gave it to me. I was laying in bed at 5:30 this morning. I said, Donna, do you know how I'm going to close the message today? She said, Joel. I said, listen to this truth, what God gave me. Tithing is an unchangeable principle. And she said, why, Joel? And I said, because it's established by an unchanging God. She sat up in bed and said, that's really good, Joel. That's really good. That's really good. There are, friends, some eternal principles throughout the Word of God, and tithing is clearly one of them. It is a principle that was started before the law. It was under the law. It was after the law. It's a principle that runs from Genesis to Revelation. And next Sunday, you come back next Sunday, I will take you through the whole Bible, and I will show you where there's tithing more than just under the law. It's before the law, and it's definitely, definitely in the New Testament. Definitely. 100% assurity, it's in the New Testament. And CCC is full of people that not only profess this belief, but they act on that profession. This is a body of believers that is filled with people who tithe, not out of demand, not out of duty, not out of request, not out of requirement. They gladly tithe with all of their increase to their local church because they know that in that process, they're letting God know that He is first in their lives and He is first in this church. Our text. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put it in its context. If you go back up to verse 25 says, therefore. Well, whenever you read the word therefore in the Bible, he's saying, I'm going to say what I'm going to say now because of what I've just said. So you got to back up one more verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is in the Bible because of this verse. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. One cannot serve both God and money. That's what Jesus said. You can't serve both God and money. Jesus said that. And as a result, he goes on to say some other things. He says, why do you worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink? They were on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was spread out before them beautifully. And Jesus was a master at this. Jesus he'd see a bird flying by and say, oh, look at the bird. Look at the bird. He doesn't toil. He doesn't work so hard. He doesn't store up. And yet your heavenly Father takes care of him. And then he goes a little farther and he says, oh, and look at the flower. Look at the flower. Look how beautiful God has made that flower. And that flower is here today. And the way it is, it'll probably be burned up tomorrow. And yet God takes care of that flower. He says, don't you think you're far more important than a bird? Don't you think you're far more important than a flower? And he says this. The pagans run after all those things. What things? What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, and where I'm going to live, and what I'm going to drink. The pagans run after those things. And then it's the next verse. He says, and your heavenly Father knows you have need of those things. So, if you will put God first, all of those things you have need of, He'll take care of. Isn't that an awesome truth? It's how I choose to live my life. God first. Money after. And I'm only the reporting boy. If you say, you don't know my situation, money has to be first, and God and all that stuff has to be second, you take it up with God. Because God said, you will love one and hate the other, or you will hate one and love the other. The third message in this series, I will deal specifically with that verse. Why did Jesus say, you can't serve both God and money? Little inkling, because money carries with it a real live spirit. It's true. You can prove it from Scripture. Carries with it a spirit. And so if we say yes to that being first, God has all kinds of problems being first in our lives. I think it's true. Money really does matter. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, in the face of trial and trouble and difficulty, and in the face of celebration of 30 years, I tried to do what I've tried to be doing for 30 years. And that is teach this people the word of God. It's far more important than anything else. And Lord, I know this is good soil, and I know that this lands on good soil today. Holy Spirit, let this word accomplish in our wives what you want it to, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The line again, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be. I have made a deliberate decision over these 6 Sundays, and it's specifically this: the offering will be taken at the close of the message. And I know there's some fault-finding, sarcastic person will say, see, I know he's doing that, so he'll just pump up the offerings. Oh, come on. You all know I preach for a response, and I do not apologize for that. That's the problem with too many churches today. They don't preach for a response. They preach to disseminate information, then be on your way. No! I preach for a response. What does the word of the Lord say to you? I don't apologize for it. I never will. Now, if this was a message on salvation, we'd have people come to accept Jesus. If this was a message on healing, we'd have people come to be prayed for and get healed. If this was a message on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we'd have people come forward and pray for that. This is a message on tithing. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to take up an offering. Ushers, come forward, please. We receive, first of all, the Lord's tithe. In addition to that, your faith promises to missions, any other gifts that you might want to give. Tithe is on the left. Gifts are on the right. Offerings are on the right. In one of the messages, we'll talk about our giving envelope and why it is that way. The tithe is separated from the offerings. I encourage you, make a statement to God today. A tangible statement. That says, you're first. You're first. Father, I recognize that every time the tithe is received, it comes from hard-earned money. And I pray your blessings upon this people as they now bring the tithe and then offerings into the center of their spiritual activity. Bless the works of their hands and bless their families. In Jesus' name. Amen.